Welcome to Perspectives. I'm Joan Herman. The focus of today's show is a unique entity in Clatsop County, indeed in much of the country, a publicly owned and funded healthcare district. Since its formation in 1979, the Clatsop Care Health District has provided top-notch care to seniors and others needing short or long-term assistance, from in-home care services to skilled nursing care in the county's only nursing home. Yet faced with a looming deficit, the district's board of directors has voted to turn management of the district's facilities and services over to a for-profit company in hopes of turning the balance sheet around. County residents and some employees who turned out for two board meetings in early March voiced concerns that patient care could be sacrificed with a for-profit company at the helm. With me in the studio to talk about this complex issue is the chairwoman of the district's board of directors, Karen Burke. Burke is a registered nurse and former director of Clatsop Community College's nursing program. Also in the studio is Dr. Roy Little, a longtime family and emergency medicine physician who now serves as one of the doctors for the county jail. And joining us by telephone is Mark Remley, who is one of the owners and the chief executive officer of the Salem-based Aiden Health Services, whose company will begin managing the healthcare district's facilities on April 1st. This program was pre-recorded. Welcome to the studio, Karen, Roy, and Mark.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joan.
Thank you, Joan.
Karen and Roy, I think I'd like to begin by having both of you explain just a little bit about what the healthcare district is and what services it provides.
Okay, maybe I can take that one. The healthcare district was really formed back in 1979 to meet the needs of seniors, the long-term care population at that time that needed nursing care but did not need hospitalization. They needed long-term care. Since that time, of the formation of Clatsop Care Center as well as the district, the district has added services. We've added an assisted living facility, Clatsop Retirement Village. We've added in-home services, Clatsop In-Home Services. And most recently, we've added Clatsop Care Memory Community. We still struggle with the names of each facility, but we don't struggle with what we've got. So,
Roy, would you like to add anything to that?
No, that pretty much covers it. It's been a goal, long-term goal, to expand services so that more people in the community who might benefit from the sorts of services the district has or to offer can receive them, and also to stay up with trends in the industry, if you will, which calls for doing more things in people's homes rather than in sort of the brick and mortar setting. Also, we're very proud of the memory care because that, again, is a long time goal, and we've got it. It's the only one of its type really in the area.
And when did that open?
It opened in the late summer, early fall of 15.
And that is serving patients with Alzheimer's?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How many residents does the district serve, both living in their own homes as well as in your facilities?
Oh, gosh. Currently, we've got about 22 residents at the care center. That may vary from day to day. We have...
And that is the old hospital building on 16th Street in Astoria?
That's correct, John. Yeah,
underline the word old, please.
Yes. And we have about somewhere 69 to 71 residents at the retirement village in the assisted living facility. Usually, at this point, I think we're at about 22 to 24 mm-hmm. at the memory care facility. In-home care, I believe there are approximately 40 to 45 people that are being served for varying number of hours, depending on their needs.
Okay. And the healthcare district is a public entity, and the facilities are owned by the taxpayers. Is that correct?
Yes, that's true. It's a special district. It encompasses the entirety of the county except for a small portion down around Seaside and Cannon Beach that's in the Union Health District.
Okay, and you do receive a bit of taxpayer funding, I think 4 to 5% you said, of your total budget?
It's a small amount, but yes.
Right.
And does the rest of it come from Medicare and Medicaid?
Medicare, Medicaid, some private pay, a very small percent from some incidentals that the district might do. We also do get timber tax revenue, but that's not a reliable source of income.
Okay. All right. So you've been around for 38 years, and during that entire period, you've had your own manager overseeing the facilities, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yes. So what is leading you to decide to turn over management to a private company?
Well, it's budget. It's a combination of multiple things that have led to a significant budget shortfall, a projected shortfall. We're spending more money than we're taking in, and the primary driver of that has been the operations at the Clatsop Care Center. The paper has pretty well outlined the reasons for this, but it's a combination of changes in the at the state level and the federal level, which have ended up with people being directed to different sorts of care. It's funding decreases by the state as a result of legislation passed about 4 years ago.
So Medicaid decreases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, effective decreases. And there's, in terms of this rehabilitation or the Medicare portion of what we do, there's also a change in the industry and the business about how people are being directed for this sort of care. Mm-hmm. So this is really, and we've also, within the district, we have been able to, establishment of the memory care facility, and also, of course, with the assisted living facility, we've been able to find, in some cases, more suitable housing for some of the residents who were previously housed at the care center. So the combination of all this has led us to a shortfall of revenue through the care center unit. Second thing that happened is our CEO of 4 years, for personal reasons, turned in her resignation. And that gave us the opportunity to rethink how we were providing the management to the district.
Now, your budget deficit is going to be approximately $600,000. Is that correct?
We hope not in the long run, but yeah.
Right. That's the projection,
At the end of this fiscal year, mm-hmm. which ends at the end of June. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And so the factors that you mentioned just a moment ago, Roy, the decrease in Medicaid funding, and a few other factors, those have amounted to causing that deficit?
That's right. We have we've had trouble staffing the place. We've had trouble getting residents.
And you're referring to the care center facility on 16th Street in Astoria?
When we say that, yes, we're referring to the care center.
Okay. Yeah. The other facilities break even or earn a bit?
The Clatsop Retirement Village breaks even and does very well in terms of revenues meeting the costs there. Mm-hmm. The memory care unit is projected to do well, but at this point we are still trying to increase the census to the maximum because startup costs, of course, are a little bit more than it will be as it becomes established. So that's also contributes is the startup of the memory care facility.
And that facility is in Warrenton?
That's correct, yes.
While the retirement village is also in Astoria?
Yes,
it is.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, Mark, I want to bring you into this conversation. It seems like an insurmountable challenge. How can a obviously, your company wants to make a profit, so how can you do that without sacrificing care to the patients?
I think the main thing that we focus on right off the bat is leadership and letting everybody understand what is it that we need to do when you have a projected shortfall as we do. We've got to be very efficient with how we are running the operations, as well as what are other ways to increase the revenue. And you've got to do that by having a lot of focus on the staff from top to bottom. Everybody plays a role, and if we set those expectations right off the bat on what we need to be doing to care for our residents, we should be giving excellent care, and in that, you've got to have feedback from the residents as well as family members on ultimately, you know, who is our customer, and they're going to be the ultimate judge of how we're doing. And so it's really starting with we're going to need to find a administrator for the nursing facility right off the bat, as Roy mentioned. Nicole, with Nicole leaving, that will leave a void there. And through that leadership, it's building the culture in the facility that we can do this, but we've got a big task ahead of us. But I think as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, with this being the only nursing home in Clatsop County, we've got a lot of people that we can serve. And so we need to hone in on where are those folks going, and because we'd like to be able to take care of them and in our community and have it be a place where we're proud to have continue to thrive in the county.
Do you hope to increase the number of residents in the care center?
I do. Yeah, I think, again, I think there's, if the census right now is around 22, I think there's people that are going out of the community, and I think we can meet their needs here closer to home and do a good job to, again, have a place that everybody will be proud of, and hopefully wanting to come to the care center.
How many residents would you like to bring that number of 22 up to?
That I don't know. I mean, I think you know, and Roy hit on this as well. It's there's two things that are going on with the care center. Number one is the census being low, and number two, it's staffing it. And how do you, as you raise the census in the care center, you will need more staff. So it's figuring out how to create a positive environment for people that want to work there and bring them in. And we'll raise the census as high as we can, given the staffing requirements that we need to. So, right off the top of my head, I don't have a magic number, but I think in order for it to be self-sustaining, that number has got to move off of the 22 number and go north of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, if you're just joining me, you are listening to a pre-recorded show about turning management of the publicly owned Clatsop Care Health District over to a private company. This is Perspectives on Coast Community Radio. We'll be back after a short break. Welcome back to a pre-recorded edition of Perspectives on Coast Community Radio. I'm Joan Herman. The topic of today's show is the decision to turn management
of the publicly funded Clatsop Care Health District over to a private company. With me in the studio are Karen Burke, a registered nurse and the chairwoman of the district's board of directors, and board member Dr. Roy Little, a longtime family and emergency room physician. Joining us by telephone is Mark Remley, who is the owner and chief executive officer of Aiden Health Services, which is assuming management of the district's facilities and services on April 1st. I wanted to continue the discussion by asking how it is the board chose Aiden Health Services.
It was a process that involved a number of steps starting way back in December, where we outreach to both advocacy groups for long-term care, to our auditor, and to others for companies that were well-versed in this. Our CEO, Nicole, the CEO, talked to a number of companies during this time as she did the initial outreach, and we ruled out a number right from the beginning because they only operated private for-profit agencies, or for various reasons, mainly because they did not have experience in working with publicly funded health districts. That was our primary criteria. Our other primary criteria was agencies or management companies that had experience operating long-term care facilities, because the board of directors really is committed to keeping the long-term care option available in this community. So that was one of our primary criterion. We formed a small subcommittee of the board of directors who interviewed and talked to several healthcare districts. We had a number of questions that we asked them in terms of costs, experience, what they anticipated in terms of strategies that they might use. And through that process of in-person interviews and meetings, we essentially came to the conclusion that Aiden was the most experienced in working with exactly the type of facilities that we have and a public health care district.
Okay. Dr. Little, anything to add to that?
Well, I'd like to just briefly address the issue of privatization. We're not privatizing the district. That actually would take a vote by the electorate to disband the district and then, you know, turn over the assets to, you know, private entities. What we're doing is changing the way we provide the senior level management, the CEO, if you will. We have long been aware, and it goes back to our previous CEO, Anita Shacker, that one person in this somewhat isolated setting, even with the person who's best networked, can't keep up with all the changes that are going on in this industry, and using that word very loosely. But so we're changing the way we provide the management, and we are paying a fee for it.
How much will that fee be, by the way?
It's 5% of gross revenues initially. Then it does go up to 6%.
After 6 months.
Yes. And, it's $32,000 a month. Now, there's offsets with that because we're not, you know, you have to offset with what it costs us to buy to hire a CEO. So it's not, you know, but we still are paying a premium, but we're not privatizing. We're deciding how to spend the money we need to spend on management and get the most for our most value for the district. It's a big, big gulp, but we firmly believe that this is what it takes to do this.
And Joan, I'd like to add one thing, that discussion about whether it would make sense to disband the district has occurred on various occasions within the board meetings. So it's not something that hasn't been thought of, but because we all feel the commitment to the community and to the long-term care needs of the community, it has been something that never came to a vote. It's just been gosh, is it time to actually think about this? And we've always decided, no, it's not.
If I could just jump back in on that, is the board has discussed this and is, I believe, committed to the concept that the district exists to provide services that are not being provided by anybody else in the area. So we're talking about the Medicaid or private pay, some of the private pay sector, the Medicaid sector, which is increasingly being abandoned by larger operators, services such as the memory care facility. We're there to, we exist, we believe, to provide things, services, housing that no one else in the community or the county will. And if we go away, we think this will all go away.
What recourse does the community and the board of directors have if you're not satisfied with the services Aiden provides?
Well, I think Mark said it well in our meeting on Friday. Basically, they need to show us every 30 days when they meet with the board of directors why they should remain as our management entity. So,
I agree. There's an old saying in finance that says, when you make a decision, you put all your eggs in one basket, then you watch that basket very, very closely. And that's what the board will be doing.
Mm-hmm. So you signed a 2-year contract, but you can cancel that contract every 30 days or for cause. Is that correct?
There is a clause in the contract that allows that. It certainly is not our intention to cancel it at any time before the contract expires, because the district did not get into the financial position that it's in right now just in a very short order. It took years to get to the crisis point, if you want to put it that way, that we're at right now. And we don't expect that Aiden will be able to turn that around in 30 days. That would be unrealistic.
Some residents and employees who were at the board meetings in early March thought that signing a 2-year contract was too long of a period and wanted you to sign a 1-year contract just in case things don't work out. Why did you go with the 2-year contract?
Could I suggest that maybe, I think Mark has a
sure
answer from his perspective.
Sure. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I think when you've seen all of the questions that have risen from just going this direction, from an employee's perspective, is they get worried. You know, it's the unknown going into something that's happening on April 1st. If you have too short of a contract, you start getting into this, and pretty soon, I mean, a year is not a very long time. So you get into it 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, and people are already asking, well, are you going to still be here? Are they going to extend it? And it just doesn't, when you're trying to create a cohesive group of employees, you want to have their focus be on the care of the residents. And when if the contract is too short, there can be questions that rise. Is there going to be another big change in, you know, another 6 months if we're 6 months into it? So I think 2 years is kind of that, that mark where the board will have enough history on is this working, is it a good relationship, and what's the employee's perspective on that? Do they think it's a good relationship, and are we doing what we say that we're going to do? So that's kind of how we looked at it going into it.
Okay. All right. Rory and Karen, what would happen if you weren't turning management over to a private company?
Oy. I think there's a very good chance that as of the end of June, we would before that time, we would have to make the decision whether or not to close the care center and simply move the residents who are able to be cared for in to one of our facilities, or ask their families to search for other facilities for them.
Rory?
That's pretty much it. It's difficult to wind down an operation like this, so it would take place over some months. The district would still own the building. We might be able to find alternate use for it, or potentially sell it to help provide money for the other operations in the district. But you have to remember that the type of care that we provide is a vanishing service in rural or semi-rural counties. And, you know, Mark probably has a better handle on it. But just in the last few years here on the coast, you've seen the loss of Seaside, and you've seen facilities up north of Lincoln City have gone away. So we have us, we have Wheeler, then you have to go all the way up to Lincoln City area, north of Lincoln City, somewhere around there, to find the next nursing home facility of our type. And I don't know, Mark, what do you think? What's your, from your perspective, about the viability of ICF and nursing home care?
And we've got just a minute left.
I think it's there's a need, and I think you hit the nail on the head with Seaside closing, Lincoln City closing. So you've got Newport, Wheeler, and Astoria. And when you look at it from a population standpoint, Astoria has a higher population up in that area. So I think there is a need in the area for ICF, as well as the skilled, and that's why I'm excited to see what we can do at the care center to keep
okay.
it in the area.
Thank you. Unfortunately, we are out of time today. I want to thank my guests, Karen Burke, Dr. Rory Little, and Mark Remley, for shedding light on why the decision was made to turn management of the publicly owned Clatsop Care Health District over to a private company. Karen Burke is a registered nurse and chairwoman of the district's board of directors. Dr. Rory Little is a local family and emergency room physician, and Mark Remley is the owner and chief executive officer of Aiden Health Services, the company assuming management of the district's facilities and services. Thank you for coming into the studio, Karen and Roy, and thank you for speaking to us over the phone, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joan.
Thank you.
This is Perspectives, and I'm your host, Joan Herman. Perspectives is heard every other week on the stations of Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, 91.9 FM, and KTCB Tillamook, 89.5 FM, and streaming live at coastradio.org. Thanks for listening. Thank you.